ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part of the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Of the road at the bottom of the mountain and the end of the road where there is a small gas station or little curio shop, a post office. And they talk to the postmaster. Do you know Michael Brown? Well, yes. In fact, they have a box here and they live down here on the road. Oh, we know where he lives. Do you know him? Yes, he comes in occasionally, checks on his mail when he's here. How often is he here? What does he do when he's here? Do you see big crowds? Are there lots of people coming and going? You know, what does he do? Everything. And, of course, you know, she didn't say anything to me about it until the next time I was there. And she goes, wow, what are you doing? I had the FBI come and talk to me. They went to old neighborhoods. They went to my hometown. They ask all sorts of questions. And then when they give you their clearance, the FBI gives you their okay, and then everybody else comes in, your package is then complete. And who knows how long that takes? I don't. I It's been too long ago. I don't remember. But once that package gets complete, then the White House sends that nomination up to the Senate. Gets assigned to the appropriate Senate committee. Might happen to be the Senate Oversight Committee on one. I forget. Oh, by the time we got to the second, it was the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And you go through a committee hearing. And once you go through a committee, and fortunately for me, on both my committee hearings and on the actual votes, they were unanimous. So passed with flying colors. But it's an arduous process. And you can't really do a lot while you're waiting for that process to complete. You can, they'll bring you on the payroll as a consultant because they want your expertise. They want your advice on things. They want, you know, but you can't make any official decisions. You can't sign documents. You can talk and consult. So it's a lengthy, time-consuming process. But that process is one of the president's most important ongoing responsibilities. And it is a huge factor. It's probably the major factor in a president's impact on the country. Who he appoints to these positions in the executive branch. For more than two centuries now, whether either party held the White House or either party controlled the Senate, there were certain norms that guided the appointment process. Mine was before what I'm about to tell you is going on. Mine was very straightforward. Once all of the White House personnel paperwork was done, and it gets distributed out to CIA, FBI, everybody else, you start meeting with the senators. So I would go to the chairman, meet with the vice chairman, and then and generally you would have sponsors. So my two sponsors were the two U.S. senators from Colorado at the time. Wayne Allard and Ben Nighthorse Campbell. And they would take you around and introduce you to people. So you meet the chairman, you meet the vice chairman, you sit down, they talk to you about their concerns, their issues, what's important, what's your philosophy. It's a very time consuming because they're going to vote on whether to confirm you or not. So you do it and you're honest with them. You tell them what you really think, tell them what you really believe, which is amazing then that I even got nominated or even confirmed. So that's the way it's been for two centuries. In the last, I would say, decade, because it's been my first Senate confirmation is now probably 20 years old. So all my presidential commissions are a couple of decades old. In the last decade especially, these norms have been radically altered, abandoned altogether. So in essence, I would say this is not your grandfather's. It certainly was. It's not my appointment process. It's probably not even your older brother's process. Even people who followed me, it's not their process anymore. The Constitution and federal statutes currently require that only, I mean, it may seem like a lot to you, but when you think about the size of the federal government, there are 1,852 positions that are filled by presidential nomination and with the Senate's advising consent appointment. Now, those include, out of those 1,800 plus, there are 870 positions on the courts. They have life-tenured judges. There are 46 on the courts with judges that serve 15-year terms. And then there are a remaining 936 positions in the executive and the legislative branches. So requiring Senate approval for my nomination is one of the checks and balances that's built into our system that prevents too much power from falling into too few hands. The Constitution's framers really believe that the Senate would have, in general, a silent role with just a possibility of rejection, discouraging the appointment of unfit characters. Rejection. In a word, that's really what it is. It's do we thumbs up, thumbs down? And that would require more than simply the preference they might feel to another. Like, oh, we like you, but we really like somebody else. But rather would need special and strong reasons to be justified to vote thumbs up or thumbs down. The appointment process generally reflected that understanding for two centuries. The Senate confirmed nearly all nominations, but it did so without opposition, like in my case, or in most cases, even without a recorded vote. It just comes up on the Senate floor, and they ask for unanimous consent to approve the nomination of Michael Brown to be the Undersecretary of Homeland Security. No one objects. You have a unanimous consent approval. Confirmation conflicts were few and far between. And when they were, they focused on individual nominations that raised very legitimate, concrete concerns. Democrats changed the process. I'll explain how next. I'll be right back.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
At Heartland Steak Co., they take their bacon seriously. From their double smoked hickory to their honey jalapeno, which brings sweet and spicy together for the perfect combination, to their all new bacon flavors like whiskey peppercorn with its smoky richness, to their applewood double smoked bacon that's smoked over real applewood chips. Ordering is easy at heartlandsteakco.com. And right now, when you spend $199.99 or more, you'll get free shipping plus 2 pounds of bacon with promo code BACON. Taste the Heartland difference.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. Text line, of course, is always open. 33103, 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. We're talking about this confirmation process that very few people, I mean, I'm honored to have gone through it. It was an amazing process. And I'm happy to have served the President of the United States. And I'm happy to have some presidential commissions signed by both George Bush and Colin Powell on my wall. Something that very few people in their lifetimes get the honor of having. So I'm quite proud of those. But the process itself, for me, was an amazing insight into how the Constitution works. And it worked, for me anyway, and I think for most of my cohorts at the time, and for maybe a decade after, it worked fairly well. Now, we know there have always been blips. Look at Justice Clarence Thomas, the high-tech lynching, and there have been others. But for two centuries, the confirmation process was really just about thumbs up or thumbs down. And the thumbs down was really, we just think you're unfit. You know, you're an alcoholic, or you're a drug abuser, or you're a child abuser, or you got a criminal record, or whatever it might be. So it kind of reflected that type of attitude for 200 plus years. Democrats changed the process to reflect a Senate role that is radically different than what I think the founders intended. They abandoned this silent role of just checking the president's appointment power, possibly by just rejecting a nominee. And instead, they now really have a process that is more in favor of a politically aggressive role of using the president's nominations as a proxy to fight him. Along the way, they destroyed several bipartisan norms that had guided the confirmation process since the founding of the country. Now, at the time that Ben Nighthorse Campbell, the U.S. Senator from Colorado, and Wayne Allard were my sponsors, Wayne Allard was the Republican. Ben Nighthorse Campbell was a Democrat. Now, he later changed parties to Republican, but at the time he was a Democrat. And I had bipartisan support from both Republicans and Democrats, because they saw their role as, this is the president's nominee, and we should give deference to that nominee unless there is something in the FBI background check, or if he shows up, you know, to talk to the chairman of the committee, and he shows up, you know, drunk as a washing machine, then, yeah, maybe we shouldn't vote for him. Otherwise, it was just a process to make sure that the president was picking people that met his needs and wasn't some aberration. Democrats destroyed that bipartisan norm. Now, the Senate can conduct its regular activities, such as debating and voting on nominations. They can do it efficiently, or they can do it in a really cumbersome, time-consuming manner. In confirming judicial nominations by unanimous consent or a voice vote is very efficient. It requires the presence of only a few senators. Takes just a minute or two to do. Confirming them by a formal recorded vote, a roll call vote, is cumbersome, time-consuming. It requires the presence of every senator and takes at least 45 minutes or more. Now, remember, we're talking about 1,890-some nominations. They would take up, contrary to my complaining in earlier about how much time they work, that really would take up a lot of their time. So as a practical matter, there really is no reason for a recorded vote if there's not a senator who really opposes a nomination. And so, consistent with that traditional role, between 1789 and 2000, I was nominated in 2001. 96.3% of judicial nominees were confirmed with no opposition. And 95.9% of the judicial nominees were confirmed without a recorded vote, unanimous consent. Democrats changed that in 2001, the year of my nominations, vowing to fight Bush's judicial nominations by whatever means necessary. Fortunately, I was not a judicial nomination. Now, mind you, 92% of Bush's judicial nominations were still confirmed without opposition, but the Democrats forced the Senate to take a recorded vote on 59% of them anyway. Now, think about those numbers. More than 90% get approved anyway, but Democrats wanted a recorded roll call vote on almost 60% of them. That is a 14-fold increase over the historical pattern. Why? Because the Democrats were determined to make even the Bush nominations that they supported difficult, not just for the president and not just for the nominee, but for the other senators. Grandstanding. Playing to the cameras. Making, you know, getting a soundbite that you can take back and play in your campaign. An important limitation on government power is that we have a bicameral, two-house national legislature, which is, you know, most of them around the world just have one. And they handle legislation differently. In the House, which, you know, represents the people, the rules facilitate action by a simple majority. And in the Senate, which was designed originally to represent the states, which is what it should be, but thanks to the stupid 17th Amendment, doesn't really, the rules make it harder for a simple majority to always get its way by giving smaller groups of senators greater influence. Now, since 1806, this has included requiring a supermajority, as we explained earlier, 60 votes since 1975, to end debate or invoke cloture on a bill or a resolution before a simple majority can pass that. A filibuster occurs when fewer than 60 senators vote to end the debate. Back to what we talked about last hour, blocking any vote on final passage. But here we're not talking about the SAVE Act. We're talking about judicial nominations. We're now talking about all nominations. But while extended debate has been the defining feature of the Senate's legislative process for more than 200 years, and in my opinion, consistent with the framers' design, it was never intended to be part of the Senate's confirmation process. So you have a legislative process to pass bills. You have an advising consent process, the confirmation process, to approve a president's nominees. There was a 1949 amendment to the Senate's cloture ending of debate rules intended to reach all legislative actions. However, could also make this an inadvertent possibility. Still, the Senate did not take a cloture vote on any nomination after 1949 for another 20 years. In fact, the Senate took a cloture vote on fewer than 1% of the judicial nominations confirmed in the second half of the last century, the 20th century. But the Democrats now, by whatever means necessary campaign, destroyed that norm. They had 49 seats in the 109th Congress, 2003 to 2004. Not enough to defeat a nomination, but enough to prevent a final vote on confirmation by filibuster. And they did, forcing 20 cloture votes on 10 different nominations to the courts of appeal. More than in all of American history to that point. And what happened? Half were never confirmed.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PIPE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PIPE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PIPE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Rocky Patel Emerald. Coming in at number 6 on Cigar Aficionado's Top 25 with a 95 rating, this box-pressed cigar offers great combustibility, a smooth draw, and delicate flavors of ground coffee, hickory, leather, and spice. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Reading Online Marketing. Reading Online.
When you search for your business on Google, where do you show up? Page 2? Page 3? Nowhere at all? Meanwhile, your competitors are getting those calls. You need Reading Online Marketing. Since 2010, Reading Online Marketing has been helping local businesses rank on Google, get found by customers, and win online. Need a website? We build it. Need digital ads that actually work? We manage them. Want to rank higher on Google and grow your social media? We handle it all. Here's the big difference. We know the Reading market. We know exactly what it takes to outrank your competition and get you found first. We'll show you where you stand and what it'll take to win. ReadingOnlineMarketing.com or call 530-378-4060 for your free evaluation.
Reading Online Marketing. Reading Online.
Are you looking for a night of powerful music and big band swing? Join the North State Jazz Orchestra for an unforgettable concert on Sunday, February 22nd at Sequoia Middle School in Reading. From classic jazz standards to bold, modern arrangements, this is live jazz at its best, performed by some of the finest musicians in the North State. Doors open at 6:30 p.m., music starts at 7 p.m., and the energy is guaranteed. Don't miss this 40-piece North State Jazz Orchestra, February 22nd.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Miss the show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
What shall we do about them?
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22-12-642.
Everybody calls us.
EM 94.1 FM. Call letters are KOA. We're talking about this nomination process and the confirmation process. This is another example of how Congress has decided to politicize everything. Let's take, I'm going to get to 2013 in just a second. But this really started in 2001 with Bush's judicial nominations. And as I said, there were half of the nominations that were filibustered never got confirmed. So now when you don't get confirmed and you know that they're going to filibuster, your first choice gets shoved aside. They either withdraw their nomination or the White House withdraws the nomination, and now you go to the second and third tier. And what happens is you start trying to find someone that's going to mollify or be acceptable to the Democrats. That's the politics they're playing. That's not what their job is. Their job is just to give their advice and consent. In other words, the thumbs up or thumbs down. Not, you know, do we like your judicial philosophy? Because every president, whether you and I like it or not, I mean, obviously, Barack Obama is entitled to appoint the justices, the judges that we like, or that he likes, but maybe I don't like. That's the process. If they were focused on the qualifications as opposed to their judicial philosophy, have you been a judge in the past? Have you made a bunch of controversial decisions? How do you justify those decisions? Or are you pretty mainstream? What's your philosophy? How do you interpret statute? How do you interpret the Constitution? Those are all legitimate questions. But assuming they have, you know, legally solid answers to those questions, they should be confirmed. Now, if they're an idiot and they can't answer the question, such as how would you define a woman, I don't think they should be confirmed to the court because they're not qualified. That's a simple question. Or if they have, you know, they've got some substance abuse problem. Otherwise, it's just an up or down vote. By the time we get to 2013, when Democrats occupied the White House, they control the Senate, and now they have found a new way to prevent Republicans from doing what they had done by eliminating the supermajority requirement to end debate altogether, because the Democrats did not have the 67 votes needed to change the text of the cloture rule. But they did have the simple majority needed to achieve the same result by voting to simply reinterpret the rule. So the Senate, by a vote of 52-48, determined that now, going forward from 2013, the words 3/5 in the cloture rule would mean just a simple majority for nominations. In other words, 52 senators made 60 equal 51. Yeah, I had to write that down. You go figure that out. That's what the Democrats did. So changing the interpretation, but not the text of the rule, achieved very specific objectives. But it caused longer-term distortion of the confirmation process because the cloture process itself remained unchanged. Senators could still force the Senate to take a separate cloture vote on any nomination, and that would add days and multiple recorded votes to the process for confirming everyone, not just judicial nominees. And taking a cloture vote that cannot prevent confirmation has no more real use than a recorded vote to confirm or deny a nomination without opposition. So the Democrats changed the norms solely, to make this process more cumbersome and time-consuming. And I think it appears this is probably already a regular part of the confirmation process. Why do I say that? The Senate took a cloture vote on almost 30% of Obama nominations. How many do you think they took during Trump's first term? So 30% in Obama, 80% during Trump. Now, 93% of Biden's picks and 100% of Trump's second-term nominations. Now, all the votes passed, no filibusters occurred, and the nominations were confirmed. So one way of looking at the confirmation process partisanship, is the percentage of nominations by a president of one party opposed by senators of the other party. Between 1981 and 2016, that percentage difference was only 3.5%. During Trump's first term, it jumped more than 12-fold to almost 50, not quite, 42.4%. So what does that mean? It means the focus was no longer on the nominations the Senate was asked to approve, but squarely on who was the president making the nomination. Democrats were opposing Trump by opposing his nominees. You see, before Trump, no senator had ever opposed more than 14% of the other party's judicial nominations. And during Trump's first term, no Democrat opposed fewer than 19%, and seven Democrats actually opposed more nominees than they ever supported. So like unnecessary recorded or cloture votes, routine partisanship is now just, I think, a feature of the confirmation process. The average Republican voted against 78.6% of Biden's judicial nominations, with all but three voting against the majority of those nominations. And during the first year of Trump's second term, the partisan divide has become even deeper, with the average Democrat opposing no less than 92% of judicial nominations in 2025. Now, I've been talking about judicial nominations. You can take almost a parallel amount of or percentages and apply it to U.S. attorneys or to assistant attorney generals or deputy attorney generals. What they're doing is they're trying to prevent Trump from just simply fulfilling his constitutional duty to nominate people to serve him in the executive branch, other than these judges that have life tenure. Anybody else, when the president leaves office, unless they're asked by his successor to stay, they go too. They're politicizing everything. So even a minimal act of cooperation came to a screeching halt with Trump's second term. And as a result, even though Trump made more nominations and Senate committees processed a higher percentage of them in the first three quarters of last year than either 2021 under Biden or 2017 under Trump, the Senate was able to confirm only 58% of available executive branch nominations. 58% compared to 82% back in 2021 and 75% in 2017. Now, Republicans voted in September of last year to allow consideration of multiple nominations with one vote to invoke cloture and one to confirm, both by simple majority. And after confirming three large groups of nominees in this way, the Senate had, by the end of the calendar year, at the end of 2025, they had approved 95% of all executive branch nominations approved by committee, which is ahead of the historical pace. So the Senate's been evaluating and approving Trump's second-term judicial nominees about as efficiently as it can be done. It could just be better. Three measures of efficiency are the percentage of nominees given a hearing, and the number of confirmations as a percentage of either the nominations or the current vacancies. And by any of those measures, the judicial confirmation process has been more efficient than during the first year of any president since Ronald Reagan. Oh, then Michael, what are you complaining about? Well, there's two caveats. The number of current vacancies and the emergence of new vacancies have been historically low since Trump took office. So many were filled during O'Biden, so few during Trump won, and then so many were filled during Obama, so few during Trump won, and then so many during Biden, that in terms of judicial nominees, particularly those that have lifetime tenure, there just aren't that many to fill. Frankly, it's easier to keep up when the workload is light. So the better test would come when a vacancy occurs and vacancies increase to near historic levels, which are pressure on the process. as I've tried to explain, the obstruction headwinds have never been greater, which means efficiency is even more difficult at the confirmation pace we have now. So far, at least, Senate leadership has been determined to make confirmation a real priority. So as much as I griped about John Thune in the last hour, when it comes to approving those vacancies in the judicial branch that do occur, they are being more efficient about that. But that doesn't take away from what the Democrats have done to politicize this entire process. It's now cumbersome. It's time-consuming. And when the other party controls the Senate, it will be much easier simply to minimize confirmations to whatever level the party chooses. That's a radical departure from the historic norm. And I think that'll be the pattern for the future. So the Democrats, once again, have bastardized the Constitution. I'll be right back.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Ready to feel healthy this year? Find everything you need at LoseWeightNow.co. Orderly Meds gives you access to proven GLP-1 medications at a lower cost, backed by real medical professionals. And yes, they ship in discreet private packaging because it's nobody's business how you're improving yourself. And your journey deserves dignity, privacy, and confidence. Get started today at LoseWeightNow.co. Individual results may vary. Visit LoseWeightNow.co and get started today. That's LoseWeightNow.co.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Join the heartbeat of our county every Monday at 6:35 a.m. on KCNR with the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour.
Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief brings clear, local-focused updates and heartfelt discussions that unite our community. Got a story to share? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to drop a DM. The Town Hall Brief, your community's voice for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
Hey, welcome back to Meet You with Michael Brown. Glad to be with me. I appreciate you tuning in. It is amazing some of the responses that I get to things that I talk about. I understand, for example, the SAVE Act. There are these arguments. In fact, let me just pull up something that someone just sent me. This comes from the Bipartisan Policy Center. 5 things to know about the SAVE Act. Now, I don't know much about the Bipartisan Policy Center because this was just sent to me, so I haven't had time to really dig into it. But when somebody tells me that they are the Bipartisan Policy Center, that tells me they're actually leaning to the left, and they use bipartisan as their moniker so that they can put on a veneer of, hey, we're neutral, and we're just trying to be, you know, objective here. This is dated February 2 of this year. And here's what they say you need to know about requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. Citizenship, there are 5 things they say. Citizenship is already a requirement to vote, and instances of non-citizen voting are rare. 2, many eligible citizens don't have access to documentary proof of citizenship. 3, there are better ways to verify citizenship than to put the responsibility on government, not voters. 4, the SAVE Act could have unintended consequences for election officials and election administration. And 5, the SAVE Act needs more time and resources to be implemented well. Can you guess, just based on those 5 bullet points, what the Bipartisan Policy Center, bipartisanpolicy.org, thinks about the SAVE Act? Oh, that it's horrible. So citizenship is already a requirement to vote, and instances of non-citizens voting are rare. So some fraud is okay. I want to eliminate fraud altogether. Because every instance of fraud, while it may not be enough to overturn any one particular election, is a signal to anybody else that, hey, we don't really care. And rare, what does that mean? I don't want any fraud. I don't want anyone who is a non-citizen, frankly, voting in any election, let alone a federal election. I don't want them voting for dog catcher. I don't care if they're non-citizens. I don't want them voting at all. So that it's rare seems to me, oh. So if I make that argument about anything else, and I just say, well, it's rare, but it's something that liberals oppose, what are they going to throw back on me? Oh, the stats that show, oh, you call it rare, but look, it happens, you know, 18.627% of the time. Then this one is always a killer for me. Many eligible citizens don't have documentary proof of citizenship. This says, according to the U.S. Department of State, examples of primary citizenship include a birth certificate, a passport, a consular report of birth abroad, a certificate of citizenship, or a naturalization certificate. They say that 9% of all eligible voters do not have or do not have easy access to documentary proof of citizenship. I say, okay, let's say that that is factually true. Then go get it. And if it's not easy to access, well, if you want to vote, which is a fundamental part of our Republican form of government, then you ought to go find that document. Because when you talk about documentary proof of citizenship, that's needed for a lot of things. 52% of registered voters, they say, do not have an unexpired passport with their current legal name. Well, that's a straw man argument, because a passport is only one of about six different things that you can use to prove citizenship. 11% of registered voters do not have access to their birth certificate. Okay. What do those 11% have access to? Because perhaps they have a consular report, a certificate of citizenship, a naturalization certificate. And by the way, a real ID is often assumed to be a reliable proxy for citizenship. And I agree, it doesn't definitively establish citizenship because we give out, you know, real IDs to a lot of people. But if you are of such an age that you don't have access, now there's a difference between having access to a birth certificate and not actually having a birth certificate. But those octogenarians that may not actually have a birth certificate because they didn't keep those records or they were born on a reservation or whatever it might be, there are ways around that. Yes, if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty, there are any number of ways for someone who does not have access to a birth certificate to prove their citizenship, family Bibles, family records, any number of things. So this idea that many eligible citizens don't have it boils down to, somewhere between 11 and 9%. Because I'm not going to count the 52 that have an unexpired passport, that don't have an unexpired passport. And then they say there are better ways to verify citizenship that put the responsibility on government, not voters. Why do we put everything as the responsibility of the government? If you want to vote, that's your responsibility to prove your eligibility. I don't want the government to be able for doing that. I want the voters to do that. And I have an ulterior reason, too. If you're too lazy to prove your citizenship, you're not willing to make the effort, quite frankly, I don't want you to vote because you're not willing to make the effort to be a citizen of this country. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and I'll talk to you next weekend.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
We'll be right back. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.